All right, tonight I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to, let me get the right verse here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Tonight I want to preach a message to you that is very needed at this time that we're in. And it is one of those messages where I have a feeling that by the end of it, I'm going to make just about everybody angry. And those are always fun. All right. And the reason is I'm going to step on just about everybody's toes, perhaps. But I want to encourage you in this way. Don't look at it as me stepping on your toes. Tonight, the whole point is not to tell you where you're wrong, okay? Don't I sound like a nice pastor now? All I need is curly hair up here and a winning smile, and then I can make millions. But I don't have curly hair, and I don't have a winning smile, so... But honestly, the whole point is not just to show you where you're wrong. The point is to point out to us that within a church, even just like ours, we have lots of different opinions and views on different things that are passionate. And the reason I say that is, now, you may or may not know that being a church member, okay? I'm guessing that most everybody here is pretty aware of just kind of the way different people feel about different things. But I also want to say that not everyone is aware of all that goes on. And I'm not even aware of all that goes on, but I will tell you this. I get things from both sides and in the middle on all of these issues. And tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about this mask mandate that we're in, because it's the big conversation right now. And I want to encourage you with this, that again, whatever side you're on, or even if you're in the middle, I want you to know I've heard from that side. And both sides are passionate. When we started services back up and allowing people to come in, and we just basically suggested masks, or requested masks, I guess is probably the right way, and asked people to wear them. Right away, I got flack from that. Now, nobody's mean. We have super, super nice people, so I'm not complaining. I'm just saying there were some folks who said, Pastor, I'm just not really comfortable with that. And I told them, hey, I understand. I'm with you, but here's why. And they were gracious and kind and super respectful, and were some of the first ones to come back to church. I've also heard it from the middle, and I've heard it from the other side as well. And I want to preach a message to you tonight about how we are a body. And your body has different parts. And your body has different parts that cry out for different things at different times. And a spiritual body like the church is going to be much the same way. And I want to encourage us in this. The title of the message is A Call to Spiritual Maturity. And I'm going to basically, by the end of it, if anybody is still listening by the time I get done, I want to give you some conclusions that we ought to come to at the end of it. Okay? And I think that it will help us. And it's a good reminder for us, okay? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Notice what the Bible tells us there. It says, just a real short verse, but it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we've talked about this recently. Actually, in the last couple of months, we've used some of these same verses that we'll look at tonight. But remember that what the Bible is telling us there is, as a body of believers, those who are assembled here and those who are watching via live stream, we are a body. We are one body in Christ. So we need each other, and we are part of one another. And I'm thankful for that. It's a blessing to be a part of a good church. But I also want you to realize that it says in there specifically that we're members in particular. That means that although we're one body, we are different members. They're just different. Your body has many different parts. And again, they're all different, and they all do different things, and they all scream for different things. Well, many times a church body is that same way. And so what do we do? How do we make that work? Well, how does your body make it work? God designed your body to work together for a common goal, right? And the individual parts help one another. And the weak parts are supported by the stronger parts. And we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. And let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, for us to be able to look into your word and remember what we are in you and what we need in you. And so, dear Lord, I pray, would you guide and direct in this time? Lord, I need you to guide me even what to say and what not to say. Lord, you know the things I've written down, the things that I have on my heart, but Lord, let it be from you and not just from me. If there's something that I would say that you would not want said, then Lord, close my mouth. And if there's something you want me to say that I don't have thought, that I haven't thought of, that I haven't written down, then please show me that. Or just guide and direct. And would you help us as a church, Lord, to be able to be mature spiritually and to be able to handle the different things that we're in right now in a way that would honor Christ. And Lord, I'm trusting you to do that. Lord, I'm reminding you and reminding us that this is your church. Lord, it's not mine. And it's not about me. It's not about any other member. It's about you. And so, Lord, would you guide your church tonight? Holy Spirit of God, would you speak to this congregation, those who are assembled, those who are watching via live stream, those who will watch later? Would you speak? Thank you that you will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about your physical body. What if you've looked at any kind of first aid training at all, and I am by no means an expert, but the little bit of first aid training that I have had taught me that when somebody is losing quite a bit of blood, one of the things that you want to do is you want to get the extremities, i.e. the legs and the feet, you want to get them up in the air. And the reason that you want to do that is you want to cause the blood flow to go to the essential areas, which would basically be your center mass. You want the heart to have enough blood to be able to pump, the lungs to be able to have the blood be able to go through them for oxygen, all those good things, all the internal organs, you want them to be able to receive blood so the legs, the feet, the arms, whatever, they may have to sacrifice for the rest of the body for just a little bit in order that the body would work. And you know, that's a good example or a good illustration of what many times as a church we're called on to do. We're called on to sacrifice for one another for the good of others. And the Bible is so clear on that. And we'll look at some of those things in just a little bit. Now tonight, as I mentioned to you, if you don't realize it or not, there are two distinct ways of thinking in our church, and probably a bunch in between, and I want to let you know that both are legitimate. Both have their reasons for feeling like that, and that's okay. Now, the reason that I bring it up is, and you might say, Pastor, why not just pass over it? Because I was reminded of the fact that, you know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, when talking about meat and whether or not Christians should eat meat, he didn't pass over the subject. He dealt with it and said, here's how you should approach this. And so I want to encourage you tonight that there's a way we should approach the different situations that we're in. And again, the two ways, or whether or not there are more, I'll leave that up to you to decide, but they're legitimate in that people have good reasons for thinking that way. So I want to share with you, in my opinion, what those two ways of thinking are and the reasons why they think the way that they do, and then talk to you about what should we do about that. Now what? If we have different ways of thinking, Satan wants us to be divided over it, doesn't he? He wants there to be bitter feelings and hard feelings and a little bit of anger and for people to say, well, I'm not coming or I'm not doing this or I won't go to this service or I'm not going to do that. If that's the way it's going to be, you know, all this kind of stuff. Satan wants to divide us. And I know this. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that we would be united for Jesus' sake. So let's just talk about these things. And again, don't let it bother you. Let me just share with you some of the things that I recognize. Okay, number one, one of the first ways that some people think is regarding, we're just talking about now masks now and the requirement that the county has put on us that masks should be mandatory in any kind of a building. There are many people who believe that that should not be so, and maybe even we shouldn't comply with it. Okay, why do they think that way? Well, let me give you just a few reasons. Dane County, not that long ago, said that the riots didn't spread the virus, It was the bars. Did you notice that recently? It makes it a little hard for people to trust the county when anybody with any bit of a brain recognizes those protests spread the virus. Probably more than the bars. I don't like bars. But it's a little hard to trust the county when they say things like that. Dane County changed their policy even as recently as June. They were saying there will not be a mask mandate. And then suddenly they change it. Why did they change it? Reason they changed it is there was a big petition out there asking the county to make a mask restriction on everybody. But not that long ago, they were saying they don't do enough. I heard recently that the cloth mask that you wear filters out 3%, 3% of particles. Not that long ago, the county was saying there's no reason for them. At the beginning of the whole thing, the health experts from the WHO and the CDC were saying, don't worry about masks, they're not that big of a deal. Suddenly they're a big deal. Why? Because public opinion has changed. There's a reason why people have a hard time with some of these things. Some of the doctors and nurses that people talk to say it's not that big of a deal. They don't do much. Again, I'm explaining to you why people feel that way. Our health official here in Dane County, Janelle Heinrich, is an unelected official and claims, and by that unelected status, she can do whatever she wants and there's no recourse. You notice that there's no end to the mask mandate. And if we as the people, which isn't our government of the people, by the people, and for the people, what recourse do we have to do anything about this if we don't want a mask mandate or shutdowns or anything? Do we have any recourse whatsoever? You know, there's a federal lawsuit right now against the county for that, saying that she does not have that power or should not have that power to do that. Now, by the way, did you also realize this, that the county has not only said that you have to wear a mask here, but you realize that you also have to wear a mask in your home if anybody outside of your home comes to visit. Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you watch family members or friends' kids that don't live with you full time? Don't raise your hand. Do you realize that you are required by this mandate to wear a mask? And if that child's over 5, they're required to wear a mask while they're in your home? That's the mandate. I say all that to tell you, listen, this is why people sometimes have a hard time with some of these things. In Dane County, I've been on State Street at least 2 times when I have seen someone, listen, ride a bicycle naked down State Street. I've seen that twice on State Street in the years that I've been pastor here. Riding a bicycle naked through Madison. And actually more than one person, a couple of different people. You realize nothing is ever done about that? And if you called the cops, they would do nothing. In Dane County, you can, in the privacy of your home, 2 consenting adults, if you get what I mean, can do whatever they want, no matter what the situation is, because after all, it's their body and their choice, right? And they're 2 consenting adults. But if your family comes to visit you, you have to wear a mask. I say all that to say, not because I'm trying to stir up trouble, but I'm trying to say, do you see why some people have a little bit of a hard time and they buck against some of this just a little bit and say, wait a minute, whoa, 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 whoa. There's a reason why people think this way. Now, there's another group that would say, this mask mandate is a good thing. And I want you to know their thoughts are legitimate as well. You see, one of the things, and again, this is my opinion about the way people think on these things, is the virus has killed people and harmed others. And you know what? That's the truth. It has killed people. And it has harmed others. I know of people, and specifically more in other countries than here, who have been hospitalized because of this thing. That's a scary thing. And especially people who are at risk. I mean, just look at the nursing home situation in places like New York and I believe New Jersey as well, other states like that, it has really decimated some of those places. It's a real thing. Another thought on that side of things is that we as Christians should be willing to bend over backwards for other people. Another thought on that is that the virus is worldwide, and America is not the only place where this is going on. And friends, I would say that's an important thing for us to remember. Please keep this in mind. This is not a United States virus. This is worldwide. So it's not just the news media trying to get Trump not reelected. Although there might be some of that being used, but that's not really what the virus is about. This is worldwide. Talk to some of our Filipino brethren about what life is like in the Philippines right now. Talk to some of our missionaries who are in other places right now. And you know what you realize? This is a worldwide thing. And actually, in the United States, we have very little restrictions. And we need to keep that in our mind. Missionary friends of mine in Spain, they were really locked down for a long time and really locked down. So it's an important thing for us to remember that those who would say, you know, listen, this mask mandate, we should be following this. It's important for us to remember that, hey, there's some legitimacy in that thinking because this is a worldwide thing. And other places are saying we should do this. Now, another thought on that is that we don't want to be the cause of sickness if it's preventable. Some people think that way and believe that way about this situation. Listen, if I can wear a mask and it'll keep someone else from getting sick, good night, I should wear a mask. Another thought, and again, this is my opinion on what some of these thoughts are, we don't want to be viewed as a church that's just a church full of rebellion toward anything the government would do. And I would agree with that. We don't want to be seen as a church that's just full of rebels. So now the question is, what should we do with this mask mandate because of that? And I'll just be honest with you and say, I hate it with everything in me. And I personally wrote the county and told them exactly what I felt about it. I would encourage you to do the same. Whatever it is that you feel, let them know. Be nice, be gracious, be respectful. Be loving and kind, pray for them, but let them know. But at the same time, what should we do about this in light of not my feelings, not my opinions, but what does God's Word say about this? You remember when we started the service, I said to you, you know, God's kind of testing us on some of these things. How much is your Christianity really real? Good question for us. Well, number one, here's a Bible principle. Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. These are three principles that we should remember in light of this mask mandate. By the way, my prayer almost every day is that God will lift all of the restrictions, every last one of them. That's my prayer. You may not like it. That's okay. You pray some other way. But I'm going to pray, and I have been praying, Lord, get rid of all of them. You know why? Because I look out and I see on a Wednesday night a church that has just a few people in it. Couldn't help but think as we prayed, by the way, as we were singing, just about passed out from lack of oxygen singing through that mask. Couldn't help but thinking, you know, Lord, wouldn't it be a blessing for us to be able to have the crowd that we used to have on a Wednesday night? Lord, that'd sure be a blessing. But what does the Bible say? 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Can I stop there for just a second and encourage you with fleshly lusts, what it means? A lust, we automatically think of one thing when we think of lust. But fleshly lust just means the desires of the flesh, the strong desires that the flesh has, which a lot of times are perverted things, but not always. At least we don't think of it as perverted. A lot of times it's something that is, in our minds, normal and right, but it's the flesh. It's the flesh being worked up. And a lot of what we see around us is just the flesh being worked up. Be careful about that. When you see something or when you hear something that's just, it's very obviously just the flesh wanting to lash out, then you can recognize and say, you know what, that's not what I should do. I should abstain from the flesh lashing out. Notice what else it says, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, your manner of living, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, which they do of us, don't they? They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, I've seen people and I've heard people that are Christians, and I would say good Christians, say, boy, the world needs to see the church leading the way against all of this government overreach stuff. Boy, the church ought to be the one leading the way. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that my desire as a soldier of Jesus Christ ought to be that Jesus looks good. Now, there are times when I have to do what is right and Jesus is just going to look bad because I'm doing right and the world has twisted things to look bad. But you know what? I've still got to do right in that time. Let me tell you a personal illustration on this and share this with you. I don't want to use a personal illustration where it's just, it would appear that I'm trying to puff myself up, but I got to share this with you because I want you to understand, I think there are times where we have to stand up. Let me give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, when we were down on State Street, that was the week that I said that ladies shouldn't go, it should just be men. Brother Dexter sent me up to the area around the Capitol, and it was myself, Brother Pritchett, and Brother Towery. And we were going around the Capitol. Well, we came around to the one area of the Capitol where there was a guy, very obviously one of these agitators, like the guy who was arrested and charged with, you know, a federal crime, one of those type of guys. And he had a crowd of, I don't know, I'm going to guess 40 people on the hill at the Capitol on the steps. And he's working them up. He's yelling, he's ranting, he's walking back and forth and blah, 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 blah. Well, it was in our path of passing out tracts, and so I told Brother Pritchett and Brother Tower, you know what, let's go through there and hand out some tracts. And so we went through there and handed out tracts, and the people, as we're walking up to them, are going, and so I say, well, you know, it probably might be wise to just keep moving. I'm not going to spend time here, but we start moving along, and I get probably from here to the church door away from the guy who was speaking. I'm heading the other direction, so I went past him, and I'm about that far away from him, and he starts yelling to me and saying, hey, Christian, I'm talking to you, you know, all this kind of stuff. And he walks up to me, gets in my face, and says, this is my sidewalk. Get out of here. Now, wait a minute. It's not his sidewalk. And I'm doing the Lord's work. And I looked at him and I said, no, sir, I will not leave. And he said a few choice words, got in my face again, and said, you're in the midst of a revolution and you need to get out of here. And he didn't say it quite that nice. And I said, no, sir, I will not. And he threatened to beat me up, and then there started to come a crowd around me threatening to force us to leave. And I said, no, sir, I will not leave. This is a public sidewalk, and I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And people started to get angry and talk about how, you know, Jesus Christ wouldn't do this and blah, 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 blah. Well, I happen to think that he would. I happen to think that Jesus Christ would not just tuck tail and run, and I don't think Christians should just tuck tail and run every time somebody gets in your face and threatens to beat you up. And my feeling was, listen, you can pummel me all you want. You're bigger than me. You're stronger than me. You'll probably win. You got a crowd behind you, but I'm not afraid to be beaten up. And I'm doing the Lord's work. Now, eventually we laughed and all that good kind of stuff, but I say all that to say, you know, I don't want you to think that God wants us to never stand for what's right. But I think our concern ought to be more about what would make Jesus look good. And my concern at that time was, okay, they might not like Jesus who's willing to stand there and say, you know what, I have every right to share the gospel, just like you have every right to spread your hate. But I think in the grand scheme of things, some of those people that were on that hill needed to see that Jesus is not a wimp, and that his message is real, and that his people are willing to stand up for what's right to get the message of the gospel out. You see, we need to be willing to do that, and yet, you know, our first desire ought to be that rather than just buck the system, just to buck the system, we only do that when we absolutely have to. The truth of the matter is, if that same guy would have come up and said, you know what, I'm talking to this crowd here, would you mind heading the other direction? I would have said, yes, sir. And I think we need to be congenial and easy to get along with. The Bible speaks about the fact that as much as lieth in us, we ought to live peaceably with all men. And that's a Bible principle. Look again with me, if you would, at verse 13, where it says in 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. May I point out to you what it says in verse 13? Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Listen, for the Lord's sake. That means that Mike Weiss has to set aside what he wants, what he thinks, and even with all of the goofiness that we see going on in our county. And by the way, have you done any traveling recently? We live in a bubble right here. You know, on my vacation, I went to church in another county. I'm not going to mention the county. Do you know that there were zero restrictions? The church was full. Nobody wore masks. And you know what? They've been doing it for weeks. And the church hasn't been overrun with the virus. We went to Chloe's wedding down in Bern, Indiana. No restrictions. It was like entering into freedom again. But yet, wait a minute. What does 1 Peter 2:13 say? It's not about what I think, what I want, my opinion of Dane County. It's for the Lord's sake. What does Jesus want? Is there a time when I have to say no to the government? Absolutely. By the way, California is going through that time right now. You need to pray for California. You need to pray for California. That those churches there are going through that time right now, where some of them are going to have to make a very hard decision right now. Could that be coming our way? Absolutely. But for right now, submit yourself unto every ordinance of man. Now look with me, if you would, at the second principle. So the first one was obey every ordinance. The second one is consider your brother. Romans chapter number 14. You remember how I talked about the fact that we are a body. You remember the fact that I talked about the fact that there are different opinions on this mask order that we're in right now within our church, and good, godly people, our brethren in Christ, have a different opinion than us on one side or the other. And there are many people in the middle. What do I do? What's the principle? What does God say about it? Well, consider your brother. Verse 1 of Romans 14. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise, that means to look down upon, to think of him as nothing, him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Look at, if you would, at verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Listen, you know what that's saying? That verse right there is saying to the two sides of a church in any interaction, let's just use the mask mandate. The ones who think that we should not have a mask mandate and we shouldn't even follow it. You know what the Bible says about that? Don't despise your brethren who think the opposite way. Don't think that their opinion isn't worth anything. Don't look at them and say, whatever. You just bought it hook, line, and sinker. Don't do that. The other side that thinks, man, this is serious. We got to keep the masks on. We got to watch out and all the rest. Don't judge those who don't feel the same way that you do. Don't judge them. Why? Because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And someday God's going to set it all straight. Someday we'll find out that Pastor was right on everything and everyone else was wrong. Not really, right? We're going to find out all the ways Pastor was wrong, and there are many. And we're going to find out the way that you were wrong, and there are many. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Don't despise, don't judge. Remember your brother. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. Or let's start with chapter 14, verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Verse 1 of Romans 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. What that tells me is this. My concern ought to be, what about my brother? What will help him? What will encourage him? What will lift him up? What will bring him closer to Jesus? I'm talking about people who are already saved. What will help him to serve the Lord more? Will it bring more people into church if I wear a mask? Will it help that brother who wouldn't come otherwise? Would that make the difference? Good night, come into church, I'll put that mask on. You know, if I don't say anything about that guy who, you know, doesn't come wearing a mask and bucks the system, if that'll help him get closer to Jesus, good night. God will protect me. Just get into church. But my concern ought to be my brethren in Christ. Because I don't know if you realize it right now, but there are people that are hurting spiritually right now. And Satan's enjoying this. People need the fellowship of God's house. So we should consider our brother. The first principle was obey every ordinance. Second, consider your brother. The third principle that we can remember is take the case before the Lord. Take the case before the Lord. In other words, this. If your brother is not doing exactly what you think that they ought to do, then take it before the Lord. Pray about it. Remember that God is our Heavenly Father. And just like my children are good at this, I'm assuming your kids are too. If one of them's not doing right toward the other one, they're not afraid to tell me about it. And you know what? That's usually what I tell them. I don't know about you. I'm going to tattletale on my family here a little bit. But the boys like to pick on the girls. Isn't that right, Julianne? Julianne's nodding her head. Yeah. Uh-huh. Daniel likes to walk by and just tickle Julianne. And of course it irritates her because she's trying to do something serious and he walks by and just tickles her. And I've told her, listen, here's what you do. You tell him, please stop. And if he won't stop, you come and tell me. And you know what God would say to us about this whole situation? If your brother's not doing right, talk to me about it. And let me take care of it. And you know what? God will take care of it. But not only our brother, here's the other thing. You know that our elected officials, our appointed officials, when they're not doing right, you know what we need to do? We need to take it before the Lord. Let me show you this from the Bible, Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, take it before the Lord. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Boy, that is a tough verse right there. But it's God's word. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the, what is that next word? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the, what's that next word? Minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. All right? Now let's stop there and just think about this. Twice God says about our people who are in a higher power, twice God says this about them. They are God's ministers. That means they are God's servants. That means the ones we like. That means the ones we don't like. That means the ones who make ridiculous rules, which tell you that when your grandkids come to visit you in your home, you have to put a mask on. I'm sorry, but that's a ridiculous rule. But you know what? They're God's ministers. So that means that when they do wrong, you know what I need to do? Lord, the servant that is your servant that you put over me has given me a rule which is ridiculous and really inhibits my personal freedom that you gave to me. Dear Lord, would you please deal with them? Change their heart, save them, and if they won't, please deal with them, Lord. They're your servant. You said in your word they were yours. That means that you're their master. You get to control them. So, Lord, your servant is not doing what is right by you. Would you please deal with them? And then I need to act in faith, understanding, wait, I talked to God about it. I went up the chain of command because that person is God's servant. And God will have to deal with them. Now, obviously, when that servant says, you are not allowed to obey the higher power anymore, that's a different story. Then I have to say, no, I have to obey the supreme authority first. But within the things we're talking about here, we're still talking about in a realm of just what we're dealing with, in my opinion, is foolishness. Again, my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. But I will say this. My job is just take it before the Lord. Lord, they're overstepping their bounds. Lord, they're doing things that I don't like. Lord, would you deal with them? And then faith tells me, all right, I laid it at God's feet. God will hear. God will deal with it. And you know what that allows me to do? It allows me to have joy, peace. And do you remember what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of those things are the fruit of the Spirit. So when I yield all that to the Lord, you know what He gives me? He gives me the fruit of the Spirit. And I can have joy and peace rather than a gut that's turned, wrenched this way or that way and upset about this thing and that thing. And there are all kinds of things to be upset about. But you know what? When I give it to the Lord, I have peace about it. So three principles that we need to remember. Obey every ordinance. Consider your brother. Take the case before the Lord. So friends, in these days that we're in, right now, my prayer is, Lord, take this mandate away. Lord, take the restrictions away. Lord, get rid of this. But in the meantime, here's what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you just to follow it. Not for my sake, for the Lord's sake, for your brethren's sake, for visitors' sake. And let's just pray and ask the Lord to deal with it. If you're in disagreement with the order, then just pray. Ask the Lord to deal with it. Pray with me. I've been praying for a long time about it, asking God to deal with the whole situation. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me about it, and we'll just see what the Lord does. Now, by the way, let me say this. The county has also said that if you're out and about and you see someone not wearing a mask, remember this. People who have mental health issues are not required to wear a mask. Children 5 years and under, or under five, I forget which, you can look it up on your own, are not required to wear a mask. Remember this as well, that the county itself has said, if someone's not wearing a mask, you are to assume that they have a reason. But let's, as Madison Baptist Church, let's just follow these three principles for the Lord's sake. And God will bless us for that. And we'll keep praying about it and seeing what the Lord will do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the fact that we can look in your word and find principles that apply, and Lord, even things like this. Now, dear Lord, I do ask that you guide, direct, bless, and help us as we try to follow these ordinances. Lord, would you guide and direct and bless our church membership, the leadership? Give us wisdom, Lord. We need you. Lord, would you give us grace? Would you give us the fruit of your Spirit? Lord, we need love, joy, and peace, and the other things listed. Please give them to us. Father, would you give us a love for one another and a love for you that surpasses our fleshly lusts? I thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.